ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
The Mighty Challenge.
It is the Mighty Challenge. Five categories, five questions per category. You get 10 in a row, you get a black magnet. If you're around for the final question, you get one of the winner's magnets. All hotly contested and all very exciting as well. If you want to be a part of it, 1-300-800-222. You can, as always, play along on the text line, 0467-922-702. You just won't be in the run for a magnet. But there's a lot of smarty pants on the text line. I love it. The categories for this evening: 20th century people, potluck, isles, islets and islands, sport and games, and the number 30. Let's see how everyone's going to go. And we're going to kick off with George in Fremantle. George, welcome to Nightlife.
Hello again, Nick.
How's your day?
It's been very quiet, very quiet.
What category would you like to kick us off in?
Let's try potluck.
We'll go with potluck, will we? Which NRL club keeps a book of feuds detailing their history and rivalry with other clubs?
Oh, this is a bit unfair.
to someone from Fremantle, yes.
Hey, hang on. Can't we try another one?
No. You've dived in on it. I'm sorry.
So you better tell me the question again, because I'm not quite sure I understand what you're asking.
That's okay. Which NRL club, which rugby league club, keeps a book of feuds, which is a detailing of their history?
Book of what?
Feuds.
Feuds. Oh, right.
Detailing their history and rivalries with other clubs.
Look, I've got no idea, so I'll just say the Rabbitohs.
Rabbitohs was exactly what I was looking for. Absolutely the correct answer. Well done, South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Hang on. I think I've just used up all my luck.
That was a pretty lucky start, George. I'm very impressed on that.
Yeah.
Are we moving on?
I know a few other teams, but they're easy. What's that word? They're sort of the name, the animal name, the easy one to remember. I know there's someone called the Eels, I think, isn't there?
Yeah, there's the Parramatta Eels. There's a few. There's some tucked around. Now, do you want to stay in potluck? Do you want to move to a different category?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I don't know either anymore.
Sorry, tell me about the categories again. I think I might change if there's anything like that last one.
So you're stuck in potluck at the moment. You're not stuck. You can move out of potluck. We've got 20th...
Okay, I'll try another potluck.
No. You sure? I can give you the categories.
Yeah. All right. I probably know about as much in potluck and that says a lot.
In 2003, a bidder at a charity auction paid $50,000 for Carly Simon to reveal the identity of the person she wrote which song about?
You're so vain.
You're so vain. You probably think this song is about you. You're so vain.
You're so vain.
I bet you think this song is about you. Don't you? Don't you?
You're so vain, Carly Simon. Exactly what we were looking for, George.
I never found out. Was it Warren Beatty that was that who was?
Now I don't actually remember. It was such a secret, and we're talking sort of 22 years ago. Someone did this. That sounds about right. But if someone's going to tell me I'm wrong on that, it's 0467-922-702. George, 2 for 2. Where do you want to take us now?
Let's have another go at it. Crikey.
You're going to stay in potluck?
Probably just as good with these as anything else.
All right. Potluck, I'm really happy with this. Which term describes frozen carbon dioxide that transforms from a solid directly into gas?
You're talking about you're talking about dry ice, or is that what you're, is that the sort of thing you're looking for, or do you want to know the actual name of the change or the process?
I'll take the term, the common term.
You mean the actual change?
No, the
term for the change.
I'll read you the question again, George.
Yeah, okay.
Which term describes frozen carbon dioxide that transforms from a solid directly into gas?
It's not sublimation. He says, is that what you're talking about?
It depends if that's your answer or not.
I'm still not sure what you're talking about.
No. It's in the question, trust me.
You're not talking about...
It's in the question, trust me. Which term describes frozen carbon dioxide that transforms from a solid directly into gas?
Oh, look, yeah, I'm not quite sure what you mean. You mean the term for frozen carbon dioxide is called?
I can't give you any hints, mate. I can only keep reading the question out.
Yeah, sorry, okay. Look, I'm not really sure, but I'll try... well, that's sublimation is going from a solid to a plasma, I think. I'll say sublimation, but I don't think that's what you're looking for.
It is not what we're looking for, unfortunately, George, but thank you very much. Not sublimation. Craig's getting it right on the text line. Diane's getting it right on the text line. Susan's getting it right on the text line. We'll see if Phil can take us out. Phil, where are you? And welcome to Nightlife. Sorry.
Ardrossan.
Where's Ardrossan?
It's just on the York Peninsula, just across from Adelaide.
Oh, lovely area.
Yeah, it is. It's nice and windy and cool.
Windy and cool, I will take any day of the week. We've just had a couple of runs of high 30s where I am, and I think a few places doing it for the whole week. I'm getting a bit of a break tomorrow. Which term describes frozen carbon dioxide that then transforms from a solid directly into gas? It is not sublimation, the name of the process.
I have absolutely no idea, and I'm just going to pull a term out, which is sequestration, which I know is not correct, but I'm just going to say it because I can.
It's a good term to use, but not the one we're looking for, Phil. But thank you. Have a good night. Thanks for calling in. Who's got on the text line? Come on. No. Maria saying it correct. Who else is saying it right? Karen and Mullumbimby's getting it correct. 1-300-800-222. Stephen Hobart, welcome to Nightlife.
How do you do?
Do you need the question again? How are you feeling on this one?
I'm feeling pretty reasonable.
All right. Would you like it again, or are you good to answer me?
Yeah, let's go for a game without the scientific side.
Which term describes frozen carbon dioxide that transforms from a solid directly into gas?
They used to have them at the sideshows a long, long time ago to keep the ice creams cold. It's called dry ice.
Dry ice is exactly what I was looking for, Steve. Thank you for that one.
Canvas bags.
You are in, where are we? Potluck, and we've just done our third question. Would you like to stay in potluck? You can move on to 20th century people, the number 30, sport and games, or isles, islets, and islands?
I have got as much chance in potluck as landing on the moon.
Well, I mean, we landed on the moon successfully. This could be your time.
Did we?
Yeah. It was pretty big. They televised it and everything. There was a couple of movies made about it.
Oh, yes. Flag was blowing the wrong way.
Where would you like to go, Steph?
Potluck, mate.
Let's stay in potluck. Known by the ancient Romans as the Scourge of God, which ruler suffered his only defeat after he invaded Gaul?
Caligula.
Not Caligula, but not a bad one at all. Steve, thank you very much. Where are we here? No one's answered this one yet. And look, I will take it on the chin that might have been a badly worded question. I don't necessarily think it was, but if there's a lot of people who think it is, I will take that one and I will make sure that we're being more cautious with that come tomorrow night. 1-300-800-222. Jim in Chinaman Wells in South Australia. Jim, how are you this evening?
Yeah, good, mate.
Good. You're in potluck. We're at question number 4. Known by the ancient Romans as the Scourge of God, which ruler suffered his only defeat after he invaded Gaul?
The only one I can think of is Hannibal.
Not Hannibal either. So not Caligula and not Hannibal. We at least know that. Has anyone got it right on the text line? No, not Jim. Craig, yes, in orange. You are correct on that one. Where are we? No, not Andrew. You have not got that right either. Let's go to Ernie in Brunswick. Ernie, welcome to Nightlife. Ernie, you still with me?
Yes, I am.
Ernie, the question you've got, and we're at question number four in potluck. Known by the ancient Romans as the Scourge of God, which ruler suffered his only defeat after he invaded Gaul?
I really wish I didn't get this one. Roman, did you say?
He was known by the ancient Romans as the Scourge of God.
Oh, no.
Not that he necessarily was Roman. That's what they called him.
Oh, fuckies. What era?
No, can't give a hint on that one.
Okay. Gandhi.
Gandhi? No, definitely not Gandhi. That's probably a little bit later than we're looking for. Let's see if Tony in Ballarat can help us out on that one. Tony, welcome to Nightlife.
Thank you, Jim. Nick?
Nick. Yes. Yes, yes, Tony. Yes. The question number four that we've got up to at the moment, you're in the category of potluck. Known by the ancient Romans as the Scourge of God, which ruler suffered his only defeat after he invaded Gaul?
Attila the Hun.
Absolutely correct. Thank you very much. Attila the Hun is the answer we were looking for. Jane in Homebush getting that absolutely correct. Harry in the Bay, Glenn in Moree. Very well done on that one. You can stay in potluck and we'll finish out this category, or you can move to one of the other categories.
I'll see if I can finish it.
Let's finish it out. Please. During World War II, Operation Green was the planned German invasion of which country?
Green. All right. Egypt was wrong.
Is Egypt your answer? Sorry, Tony.
I'll go for wrong. Rommel across North Africa to Egypt and the Suez Canal.
Not that particular one, but Tony, thank you for getting us there. 1-300-800-222. 1-300-800-222. Otherwise, text me on 0467-922-702. I'll try and get into some of these conversations that are happening on the text line about dry ice and solid carbon dioxide, but we'll get through the mighty challenge first. Trevor in Croydon Park. Trevor, welcome to Nightlife.
Hi, Nick.
You know the question? We're good?
No, I don't. I'm just trying to think places, because there are two famous invasion plans. And one, Russia was Barbarossa, and the other big invasion that didn't come off was of England, and I think it was Sea Lion. So I'm trying to think of what other places they had planned to. Okay, I'll say it might have been the first plans for the invasion of France.
Not France, but thank you very much for getting there. You know a lot about that. I'm really quite impressed, Trevor. 1-300-800-222. Zayden in WA. Zayden?
Yeah?
The question is, during World War II, Operation Green was the planned German invasion of which country?
Ooh, actually, I don't know about this, but I'm just going to go for it. I was going to say America. I don't know. That's wrong.
That is wrong, unfortunately. But thank you for playing along. If you think you know this one, and who's getting it right here? Harry in the Bay has got it right. Glenn in Moree getting it right. Craig from Orange getting it right as well. Diana, you've got it correct as well. Amanda, no. Rosa, no as well. It's a tricky one. We'll see where we can get a bit of support on this one, and we'll go to Joanna, who's in Newcastle. Joanna, welcome to Nightlife.
Hi there, Nick. Hi.
The question, and I'll give it to you again. During World War II, Operation Green was the planned German invasion of which country?
Yeah, I think it was Ireland.
Ireland is absolutely correct. Thank you very much on that. Well done. You've closed out the entire category of potluck and got your first right answer. How is your night going, Joanna? Are you well?
Yeah, it's not too bad. It's not hot, too hot or...
Good.
It's good. Yeah.
Okay, your remaining categories. You can go into 20th century people, isles, islets and islands, sport and games, or the number 30.
I'll try islands.
Isles, islands and islets and islands. Oh, I'm going to stumble over that so many times. Orcadians with an O, are natives of which Scottish archipelago?
The Orkneys.
The Orkneys, yes, absolutely correct. The Orkneys, the Orkadians. Where would you like? Are you going to stay in this category?
Okay, yeah.
No, you don't have to. That was a question. I'd never make you.
No, of course not. No, I'll try another one. Thanks.
All right. Yeah. Which group of islands includes Cuba, Jamaica, Puerto Rico, and Hispaniola?
Oh, dear. Well, it's in the Caribbean. I don't know exactly what they're called. I can't think of it.
We're going to pass on?
Yep.
All right. No, thanks. Thank you so much, Joanna, though. 1-300-800-222. 1-300-800-222. Adrian, not the answer we are looking for on the text line. Mick in Glen Iris. Mick.
Oh, I knew you'd come to me.
Yeah, I'm sorry, mate. I'm sorry. Do you want the question again?
Yeah, pardon. Chat about me again.
All right. Which group of islands includes Cuba, Jamaica, Puerto Rico, and Hispaniola?
I've never heard of Hispaniola. To be honest, I don't know. West Indies.
Not the West Indies, but thanks, mate. Have a safe one if you're on the road, please. Harry in the Bay, you are getting that absolutely correct. Well done. No one else is. Harry, you are the first correct answer on this particular question. Bill's on the line, hopefully going to help us out. Bill, welcome to Nightlife.
Welcome. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I can give you the question again, or would you like to just dive in?
No, I think it might be the Greater Antilles.
Absolutely correct, Bill. Thank you very much. You have got that.
The Lesser Antilles.
I wouldn't even know where the Lesser Antilles are. Where are they?
Where's the other ones, the smaller ones?
The Greater and the Lesser Antilles. Well done. Thank you very much. Yeah. You are in Isles, Islets and Islands, but you could move on. We still have Sport and Games, the number 30 and 20th century people.
No, let's stick with Islands and Islets.
All right. Here we are. Douglas, Ramsay and Castletown are towns on which British island?
Say that again, which
Douglas, town? Douglas, Ramsay and Castletown are towns on which British island?
Douglas. Sounds a bit Scottish. I don't know any Scottish islands.
Which British island is in the question?
British. Isle of Man, I think. Isle of Man.
Well done. Isle of Man, absolutely what we are looking for, Bill. Thank you. You are 2-2. That was question...
I remember from the race.
Oh, yeah, of course, the Isle of Man race. Yeah.
That was... came to me.
Question number 8, that was. We can stay in this category. We can move you on. What do you feel like doing?
We're on a run here.
All right. We are on a run, actually. Gozo G-O-Z-O, Gozo, is the second largest island of what Mediterranean country?
Gozo. Mediterranean country, Gozo. Well, it's not the Greek Isles. Mediterranean country, Gozo, Gozo, Gozo. Mediterranean country. Ooh, let's say Malta. I've got no idea.
Malta is correct. You are doing really well on this.
That was pure ass.
That was pure. That was good luck. Okay, you are 3 for 3. You could close out this category if you feel like it.
Oh, let's go with it. I'm feeling lucky now.
All right, shake it off.
That was a pure guess, that one.
Bill, which hormone is produced by the islets of Langerhans in the pancreas?
Well, that would be pancreas. That would be insulin.
Insulin, absolutely right. That is your fourth right answer, and you have knocked this category on the head. That was question number 10. Three categories remaining, Bill. Where would you like to go? Sport and games, the number 30, or 20th century people?
Let's go for 20th century people.
Before becoming royalty, who worked as a kindergarten teacher at the Young England School in Palimpco?
That would be Lady Diana Spencer.
Lady Diana Spencer, Princess Diana, I will take all of it. You are halfway to being the first person I get to give a fridge magnet to. So please, buckle up, because I'm determined to give one of these away. That was question number 11. Where would you like to go now, Bill?
Well, we'll stick with 20th century people.
Good man. Who founded the Australian Women's Pilot Association in the 1950s?
Shit.
Oh, please.
Australian Women's Pilot Association.
In the 1950s.
Oh. If it'd been a bit later in the 80s, I would have thought it was that Ansett pilot woman. 1950s, okay. Australian Women's Pilot Association. 1950s. Got no idea.
No worries, Bill. You did a really good run on that. I really appreciate you coming in for as long as you did. Five in a row from Bill. The question is, and I'm not seeing anyone getting it right on the text line. Ah, Di, I missed you, and Maria, and Elizabeth, and Harry. Sorry. No. Where are we? No, I'm getting myself confused here. The question is, who founded the Australian Women's Pilots Association in the 1950s? I've got Steve on the line. Steve, welcome to Nightlife.
How are you, Nick?
I'm good. Do you know the name? Do you know the name I'm looking for?
I'm not 100% sure, to be honest. You named your mind, of course. I picked the wrong one.
No, it's me picking you out of the lineup of calls. Don't worry, it's not on you.
God, I don't want to get a question. I know it's the luck of the draw, mate.
It is indeed.
Amelia Earhart.
Not Amelia Earhart, but thank you very much, mate, and have a good one. Who's getting it right on the text line? Karen in Mullumbimby. Yes, absolutely correct. Colin, yes, absolutely correct. Where are we looking here? Rosa, yep, you're in the ballpark on that one. Same with Carol as well. I've got Loz calling in. Hello, Loz.
Oh, hello there. How are you going?
I'm good. The question we are up to is in 20th century people, and it is, who founded the Australian Women's Pilot Association in the 1950s?
I had to write a paper on her in primary school. Her name was Nancy Bird Walton.
You wrote a paper about Nancy Bird Walton?
Yeah, it was like, you know, contributions of women in Australian society. I don't remember much. She was like a young lady, and she got her licence when it was you know, most of the women were in the home, and she was out, you know, flying around the world and things, a pioneer in all sorts of senses of the word.
Yeah, very true, especially in the early 1950s in Australia. Nancy Bird Walton, absolutely correct. David in Mount Waverley got it right. So did Karen. So did, yes, this texter, Anonymous. And Grant got it right as well. Loz.
I think she was actually flying, you know, even in the 40s and the 30s and made this organisation somewhat later, but she was doing great things before then, even if memory serves.
That actually does make sense that she would have had this whole background as a woman pilot before actually kicking off the association. You're currently in 20th Century People. There's two more categories that you could move over to.
Let's stick here.
Which former Prime Minister was the first Australian to sit in the House of Lords?
Former Australian Prime Minister. So we're going back quite some time.
Which former Prime Minister was the first Australian to sit in the House of Lords?
I know there was a period of time where they were trying to get Robert Menzies to run for politics in the UK, but I don't think he got to the House of Lords. And I don't think it'd be someone early, like not Edmund Barton, not Alfred Deakin, someone... Stanley Bruce.
Yes, it was Stanley Bruce.
No way.
Yeah, Loz, well done. He was Viscount Bruce of Melbourne.
Well, there you have it.
Stanley Bruce, the first, the former PM who was the first Aussie to sit in the House of Lords. Staying in 20th Century People, moving on.
Yes, staying here, please.
Which South African clergyman won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1984?
Archbishop Desmond Tutu.
Yes, absolutely right. Archbishop Desmond Tutu, 1984, winning that Nobel Peace Prize. One question left in 20th Century People. You can take it or you can move on.
May as well.
All right. Who is the only man to have ever shot Al Capone?
Oh, gee. Got no idea. There was a film, Someone the Coward, or... I don't think I'm going to... I've just got to pick a gangster from that period, and I'll say Bugsy Malone.
Not Bugsy Malone. Not bad at all. Loz, good run, and thank you very much. You've taken us all the way through to question number 14, if I'm getting this right. We'll see how Andy in Bateman's Bay is doing. Andy, how's your evening?
Oh, good. It's a pleasant afternoon to put some irrigation pipe in.
Good day to get a bit of work done, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, it was a nice, cool afternoon after a bit of summer's day, and send off a text to the family about you guys should get your act together and all the problems in the world of the wars and that, and concentrate all that energy into going to the moon.
Well, Andy, let's see if we can turn it into an equally good evening and or morning, depending on where you're listening right now. Who was the only man to have ever shot Al Capone?
No, if it was Lee Harvey Oswald, I would have got it. But the only person that or gangster that springs to mind of that era is Clyde Barrow.
Not Clyde Barrow, but sorry we couldn't cap off your perfect afternoon with a perfect evening as well. This is a very tricky question. I'm going to make that absolutely clear. I think this is close to the hardest one that's actually in this list for this evening. 1-300-800-222. The question is, who was the only man to have ever shot Al Capone? No correct answers on the text line. If you do think you know it and want to text it, 0467 922 702. Graham in Melbourne, good morning to you.
Good morning. Now, sublimation is the process for dry ice.
Not the question we're on.
Carbon dioxide.
It wasn't the question then, it's not the question now. Do you want to have a go
dry
at this question?
Ice. Dry ice.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much, Graham. Let's see what Dan at the Caves is doing. Dan?
Hello, it's Clint.
Dan, that's you. How are you?
Yeah, good. Yeah, I went on the El Capone.
Sorry, was your answer Al Capone?
No. Are we on the Al Capone?
Yeah, we are on the Al Capone question. Who was the only man to have ever shot Al Capone?
But the funny thing is, we are on the Al Capone. Yeah, you're on the phone, the Al Capone.
Very good, Dan. I haven't thought about rhyming slang for a while. Do you have an answer for me?
Oh, look, I'm going to say Elliot Ness, but I know it's wrong.
It is not Elliot Ness, unfortunately, and I'm going to hang up the Al Capone on you now. 1-300-800-222. 1-300-800-222, particularly if you think you know this one. Hannah, yes. Mella, yes. You are the two people who have got this correct so far. Andrew, you've rolled in with the correct answer as well. I've got Nicole in Flinders Park. Nicole, welcome to Nightlife.
Thank you.
We are in the final question of 20th century people. It is. Who was the only man to have ever shot Al Capone?
I had two thoughts. One of them was Elliot Ness, who just went before, so that's okay. So that leaves me with my most ridiculous answer, which was Al Capone shot himself.
He did. That's the correct answer. He shot himself in the foot during a round of golf. That is the correct answer, Nicole.
Oh, that's so funny.
Dino in Perth getting that correct. Soft Dog getting it right.
The first question came up, I thought, that was Al Capone himself.
I think that is...
I've just been laughing away from myself, sorry.
This is why I thought it was the hardest question that we've had for the challenge this evening.
When you said that, I thought, oh, hang on. I reckon I'm onto something.
You are. Well, you were.
Everyone else is going to come up with Elliot Ness.
Well done. I had a few Elliot Nesses coming through on the text line, but yes, Tony, a few people getting this correct now, and I think that's quite funny to me. You've got two categories left now. You've got sport and games, or you've got the number 30, 10 questions remaining. Where would you like to go, Nicole?
Oh, my gosh. I'll go sport and games, and I really will cross my fingers that you don't go a particular direction in sport.
Let's see where we go. In netball, which two positions are allowed to score goals?
Goal shooter and goal attack.
Goal shooter and goal attack is absolutely correct. You are on to your second right answer. Are you staying in here or are you moving on to 30?
Yeah, let's leave it. Let's stay there.
All right. Located between the Elands River and the Palanersberg Sun, and the Palanersberg, let's try this one again, sorry. Located between the Elands River and the Palanersberg, Sun City is a famous casino in which country?
Good gracious. Sun City. You see, that sounds like something that I've heard.
It is quite famous.
I'm just going to have, I'll just say the United States with no.
Not no the United States. No, but thank you for getting us through Al Capone at the very least, Nicole. Thank you very much. 1-300-800-222. We have got nine questions remaining. Susan in Waverton. Susan, how are you?
I'm okay. I rang up about Nancy Bird Walton.
We're getting a lot of calls tonight. You obviously had that one in the bag.
We knew her. My stepmother knew her.
Oh, really?
Yeah, way back. And we'd lived in Africa. And anyway, it's just a story that my brother was always very annoyed that we lent her this book about the hotel that the Queen was in when her father died, Treetops in Africa. And Nancy Bird Walton never returned the book. So my brother was very annoyed about that. But anyway, the answer, could you just tell me the places where this
I can.
Place is?
It's located between the Elands River and the Palanersberg. Mm-hmm. Sun City, famous casino in which country?
Is it South Africa?
It is South Africa. South Africa, thank you. I'm seeing quite a few people grabbing this correct.
And
well done, George.
That Dutch name, the whatever it's, Berg, you know. That
Palanisberg. Yeah. And well done, Glenn, as well. Lots of people getting this right on the text line. You are currently in sport and games. There are three questions remaining here. Or the only other category left is the number 30, and no one has touched that yet.
Oh, look, I'll touch it, but I'm probably not good at numbers.
Which Greek city-state was ruled by the 30 tyrants in the 4th and 5th centuries BC?
Oh, that's easy. I'm joking.
I was ready to make a little mark, so she's got it right.
No, Greek city-state was what again?
Which Greek city-state was ruled by the 30 tyrants in the 4th and 5th centuries BC?
I would have no clue, but I'll give it a go. Greek city-state. I don't know. No, sorry. I don't know.
We're going to pass?
Yes.
Pass. Thank you for the story, Susan. I genuinely appreciate that. I love little family stories like that. Susan in Waverton bowing out with a great deal of dignity. 1-300-800-222. Michael in Coolangatta. Michael, welcome to Nightlife.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Which the category is the number 30, and the question you are up to is which Greek city-state was ruled by the 30 tyrants in the 4th and 5th centuries BC?
Dionysus?
No. But thank you, and have a good night, Michael. Not Dionysus. Who's getting this correct on the text line? Craig is getting it right. Carolyn Craigieburn's getting it right. Amanda in Newcastle getting it right. Another text are getting it correct as well. Cheryl, you're getting it right as well. Sadie in Inverloch, welcome to Nightlife.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Sadie. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay. It's a really hard question.
It's a really hard question. I'm sorry. It's the first of the number 30 category. Which Greek city-state was ruled by the 30 tyrants in the 4th and 5th centuries BC?
I can only guess. I only really know Macedonia.
Macedonia, not what we're looking for either, but thank you very much, Sadie. More people getting this correct on the text line. Olivia, thank you very much. George, yes, you're absolutely correct. Lorella, no, but David in Mount Waverley, absolutely right as well. Who's next up? We'll go to Jeff. Jeff, welcome to
Good evening. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I can give you the question again if you want.
Yeah, it's not going to help, but go for it.
Which Greek city-state was ruled by the 30 tyrants in the 4th and 5th centuries BC?
Well, about the only city I know over there is Athens, so I'll go Athens.
You'll be thankful that you did, because Athens was absolutely the correct answer on that one. Athens was what we're looking for. Vicky, absolutely correct. Judith, I'm so sorry. And Steve, no. But Olivia, right on the text line as well.
Oh, there we go.
Jeff, that was the first question out of the category of 30. We've got four remaining, or you've got three left in sport and games.
I'll go for sport and games.
Sport and games. How many points is the word Scrabble worth in Scrabble?
Oh, that's a bit rude. Scrabble in Scrabble. Okay. Well, there's seven letters. Do we get one each way?
No, I'm going to need the correct answer.
Oh, God. 3, 4, 5, 7, 9, 10, 12. I'll add 2 for good luck. I'll say 14.
14 is the answer. Yes, well done. Well done on you counting Scrabble tiles in your head, Jeff. Well done.
Well, I've played a little bit, but not that much. I just,
Okay. Do you want to stay in sport and games, or do you want to move back to 30?
No, sport and games is fine. That'll do.
All right, we are down to the last final five questions. Is that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 questions. My apologies. In the 1950s, the lantern, the purse, and the rocking horse were removed from which board game?
On again, Monopoly.
Absolutely right. Monopoly, the answer we were looking for. Lantern, Purse and Rocking Horse, no longer an option there. You're on to your third correct answer, Jeff. Well done.
Poof, flying, mate. Absolutely flying.
Where do you want to go now?
Was there any sport and leisure? Sport
you got left? One. You got one sport question, sport and games question.
Stick with that.
All right. Pernina, Monterey, and San Lorenzo golf courses are located in which Western European country?
Can you say the name of them again?
I can. Pernina, Monterey, and San Lorenzo golf courses. Which Western European country are they located in?
Okay, so I'm going either Spain or Portugal. Monterey.
It's Monterey. Monterey. Monterey.
Okay. That doesn't make much difference, really. I will go for... I'll go for Portugal.
Portugal's the right answer. Portugal, yeah. Absolutely what we were looking for as you get your fourth correct answer, Jeff, and take us down to the final four, which I'm really sorry to tell you are absolutely all in the category of the number 30.
Let's go for it. 30 sounds good.
Often used in galvanization or skin protection, what element is number 30 on the periodic table?
Oh, you're joking me. I said to Philip Clark recently, I said, don't give me any more periodic table questions. I don't know.
I'll make a note for him for when he's back. No more periodic table questions for Jeff.
Okay. So, number 30 on the periodic table.
Often used in galvanization or skin protection. What element is number 30 on the periodic table?
I will go... sulfur.
Not... sulfur, but Jeff, you had a really good run, mate. I'll make sure that Phil gets the note. No more of these questions. 1-300-800-222. We are down to the final four questions. Steve's in Kempsey. Steve, welcome to Nightlife.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. Often used in galvanization or skin protection, which element is number 30 on the periodic table?
Luckily, my mother used to put pink zinc all over my nose, so the answer is presumably zinc.
Zinc is absolutely right. Well done, Jim in Campbelltown. Martin got it right. Susan in Hobart got it right. Pat, the point, got it right as well. I've got to keep you in this category. It's the only one left. Yes. Three questions remaining. Who, Steve, was Australia's 30th Prime Minister?
Oh, not the foggiest idea. I don't even know what we're up to now. I had so many in the first 20 years. Came and went. Gough Whitlam.
Not Gough Whitlam, but thank you very much, mate. Have a good night. Stephen Kempsey there bowing out on that one. Cynthia's in Sunshine. Cynthia, welcome to Nightlife.
Good evening.
Oh, hang on. Cynthia, are you still with me?
Yes, hello.
Hello, I don't know what happened then. You just dropped out for a second. Cynthia, welcome. Yeah. Welcome. There's only three questions left.
Oh, yes, and I would get this one. never mind.
Who was Australia's 30th Prime Minister?
That's embarrassing because I should know. Look, I'm just going to take a guess because I don't really know. I'm going to try Malcolm Turnbull.
Not Malcolm Turnbull, but thank you very much, Cynthia. I really appreciate it. 1-300-800-222 if you think you know the answer to this one. Grant, you are correct. Diana, you are correct. Glenn, you are correct. No, Kylie, unfortunately, not the right answer. Caitlin, welcome to Nightlife.
Hi, Nick. Thank you. How are you?
I'm really good. How is your evening? Still evening where you are, yeah?
It's still evening. It's beautiful. We're sitting outside. It's lovely.
Oh, thank you for taking a bit of time on a nice night to call in. There's
Always.
Only three questions left, so let's see if we can do this with you. Who was Australia's 30th Prime Minister?
ScoMo. Scott Morrison, I think.
Scott Morrison is absolutely right. Thank you very much for that. Well done. Your next question. Oh, here we go. Which French car company produced the R30 between 1975 and 1984?
Oh, it's not really my area. Renault?
Renault is absolutely right. That is what we are looking for.
Oh.
Caitlin?
Yes.
We are down to the very final question. How are you feeling?
Nervous.
Don't be nervous. We're going to get this done. I need you to listen to this word. Have a listen to this.
30.
I'm going to play it again.
30.
30. It is the word for 30 in which Northern European language?
Geography is not my suit.
How are you with linguistics?
I'm bilingual.
This is a good start. I'm going to play it to you again because it is a tricky word.
Kolmekymmentä.
Kolmekymmentä. It is the word for 30 in which Northern European language?
I'm going to take a stab and it's not right. I'm going to say Nepalese.
It is not Nepalese. Oh, no. We're so close, Caitlin. Thank you very much for playing along and getting us right down to the final question. Am I seeing any correct answers on the text line? I am not at the moment. Oh, we've got 4, 5, 6 minutes left to go. Cameron in South Perth and another WA. Hello, mate.
How are you?
I'm good.
Can I have the question, please?
You absolutely can. Listen to this word.
Kolmekymmentä.
Kolmekymmentä. It is the word for 30 in which Northern European language?
Norwegian.
Norwegian, not the answer we are looking for, Cameron, but thank you very much. No, Kylie. No, Jim. No, Marie. Yes, Heather. Very well done. And yes, Susan in Hobart. I believe we've got Raymond, who's been waiting patiently. Raymond, welcome to Nightlife.
Hi. Hi, Nick.
Listen to the word.
Kolmekymmentä.
Kolmekymmentä. And this is the final question. It is the word for 30 in which Northern European language?
Oh, I'm thinking Sweden, but I'm just going to have to go for Sweden.
It is not Swedish either. So we now know it's not Norwegian and it is not Swedish. Betty and Dapto, I hope you've been having a good evening.
I've had a fine time, thank you.
Please help.
I slept through the quiz last night.
Oh, well, I did think we didn't hear from you. So you're down to the final question, and we've only got a couple of minutes left before the news. So please have a quick listen to this word.
Kolmekymmentä.
Kolmekymmentä is the word for 30 in which Northern European language? We've had someone guess Swedish. It's not that. We've had someone guess Norwegian. It's not that.
I don't think I'm going to get this, Nick. Would it be... you said it's not Sweden.
It's definitely not Swedish, and it's definitely not Norwegian. We know that.
What about Finland?
Betty, it's Finnish. You got it absolutely correct.
You are joking.
No, you've got that absolutely right. Finnish, kolmekymmentä is the word for 30 in Finnish. You have won the quiz.
Well, Nick, it was just a rough guess because I got a few right. I got the dry ice and a few right tonight, but that's amazing.
I'm really happy for that. I hope it's capping off a nice night for you.
Oh, yes, well... Yes, well, you know, I don't ring to win because really and truly, Nick, I think you'd be the first one to admit this. These nightlife people are so clever.
You don't even get to see the text line that I'm seeing, Betty. It is so many people who are so smart. It's quite amazing.
Yes, it is. It is. And they're such a good team too. You know, good sports. I think they are anyway.
I think it's fabulous. Hey, can I ask you, what are you planning to do for the New Year tomorrow evening? Well, this evening. I'm getting confused with my timing. What are you doing for New Year's Eve?
Not very much. Nick, I'm 94. In years gone by, I was only talking to Adrian today about it. We used to go to all the balls and the dances and all the things, never stayed home on New Year's Eve. And when I was a young girl, I used to make a new dress for the New Year's Eve ball and everything, but now I don't do much.
Betty, I think you've had an amazing life by the sounds of it.
Well, I have had a good life, yes.
Well, thank you for joining us. And there's a lot of people texting in saying a very, very big congratulations to you. And they're very excited that you've won. Betty, thank you very much. Stay on the line. We'll make sure we've got all of your details. And yes, you clever clocks on the text line. You're absolutely amazing. Amanda from Newcastle saying, Betty from Dapto, yay. And Steve saying, is it Betty's first win? I didn't know if it was or not.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.